how you all are. We'll turn your Bibles to John chapter 17. I want to say a couple of things before I start. What time are we supposed to quit, Steve? I brought my watch. Now, wait a minute, that's on Central. It says it's 25 till 11.
Your watch is wrong.
No.
45,
50
minutes. After that,
we'll be there at 8. That'd be good. When I first moved to Pensacola to work for Brother Moore, left the railroad and met him at camp. I met Brother Moore when I was 15 years old. And I didn't meet him after that for a few years, but I told him we were at Bible camp the first year I went, and we were setting up in the tabernacle, and just me and him. And Brother Moore was kind of a person that a lot of people were scared of. That might be him. I'll talk to you later. But we were sitting at the tabernacle, and I said, "Brother Moore, there's something wrong with me." He said, "What?" And I said, "I feel like I got a big old hole in me." And he said, "Well, what's the matter?" And I said, "Well, I work on a railroad, make plenty of money, and I got two cars, two pickups, a car, motorcycles, but I'm not happy." And he said, "Well, would you like to come down and maybe go to work for me?" And I said, "I don't know. What do you do?" You know, I knew he'd preach, but I said, what would I be doing? And he said, "Whatever I need you to do." And I said, "Well." So I got Kathy, and we drove down to Pensacola the very next week and went to circuit with him. And he said, "What do you make salary-wise?" I said, "I make $125 a day plus time off. If I'm away, I make more money." He said, "I can pay you $100 a week." I said, "Sounds like a good deal." So I sold my house and cars and everything and went down, and I wasn't going down there to work for Brother Moore. I was going down there to get saved. And May 17th, 1984, I trusted Jesus Christ to have saved me. And it's been a fun dance since then. Because I can look at people out here, and I've known for years and years. And I told Brother Steve, I think last night, the crowd is changing. We don't have any young people anymore. And that kind of tells me something. That's just some kind of thing that's kind of weird about it. But maybe 2 Timothy chapter 3 is coming into effect. Things are changing. And it's not for good, obviously, but I love people in here. I love my Bible classes. I teach Bible classes a week. Zoom, I have that, and I have YouTube, and people like that because they can turn me off. Well, you know. But let's have Bible study. What do you say? John 17. Oh, there's one other thing I would like to say, and Steve brought it to my memory about the check the man wrote him. When I left Berean Bible Study in Pensacola to go to Panama City, well, Brother Moore wasn't happy with me. I'll just put it out flat out. He wasn't happy with me then. And you don't want to get Brother Moore mad at you. It was just wasn't a good day. And he gave me a D50 Dodge pickup. That's a little one. Because I was going to move, and I was going to go to Panama City from Pensacola and try to find a place to rent. Never been to Panama City except in the Bible class. I didn't even know where the highway split. I didn't know where downtown Panama. I didn't know nothing. And he gave me that truck, and so I told Kathy one morning, I loaded up her stuff. Her sewing stuff was a truckload. And I said, "I'm going over there to find a place for us to rent." And that was about 10 o'clock. Well, a man came by, and he's not here now, but we've been friends for years, all of us, the preachers I know. And he said, "I heard you're going to Panama City." I said, "How'd you hear that?" "I don't know how you heard it." And he said, "I want to give you a check." I said, "Thank you. I don't know what, but I put it in my pocket." And I was going over to Panama City with probably $100. It's called faith. There ain't nothing in Panama City for $100. You can't buy a hamburger. No. And so at noon I went in. He left. He said, "Don't cash the check till after dinner because I got it out of my credit union." So we were eating dinner and I thought, I'll open it up. It's $1,000. And he didn't have to do that because he was in Brother Moore's Bible study of mine. I didn't have one. And folks, God will take care of you.
Amen.
He's been taking care of me for a long time. He'll take care of you too. God is faithful. In John 17, I want to talk about what the Lord is talking about here in 17 and 19. In verse 6, no, let's go back to verse 4. "I have glory," and if you'll notice the "I's" in these verses, it's the Lord, "I. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou hast gave me to do." Okay, hold on to that. Go to John 19. In John chapter 19, verse 30. "When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished.'" Now, John 17, he's not on the cross. Matter of fact, he hadn't even got to the garden yet. That's in John 18. So what he's talking about here, let's research it a little bit and see if we can get a hold of some things. All right, in John 17 again, verse 5. "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self for the glory which I had with thee before the world was." That's John 1:1. "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him, not anything was made with made." Say, how do you know that, Brother Jerry? That was the test of Brother Moore on the earphones when we were setting up for every conference or everything. He quoted it all the time. Well, it just burned into me. And it came out of my mouth. And I said, "How did I know that one?" "Oh, I remember now. It's in the headphones." He would quote that. "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him with all." And I go, "Oh, okay." Well, that was Jesus, not known as the name Jesus. Was He with God before the foundation of the world? Absolutely. And so in the verse he said, "The glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifest thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And they have kept thy word." And in, I believe it's Acts chapter 4, "There's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved." And the consideration of Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission, you know, the Great Commission, "Baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." Now, do you do it three dips, forwards or backwards? How do you do it? Is it one name or three? See, you ask people that are all busy baptizing. I said, "Do you dip them forward? Do you dip them backwards? Do you hold their nose? Do you drown them? What do? Do you get them really clean?" "In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." Well, the Father's name is the Lord. The Son's name is Jesus. And the Holy One's Christ. There's the name. The Lord Jesus Christ. And so people are doing things, you know, in the churches. They don't even know what they're doing anyway. But they're doing them because it's tradition. And our apostle got away from tradition. And that's a good thing, I'm going to tell you right now. Now, verse 6. "I have manifest thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And they have thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word." If you look at John 13, go to John 13. You see, we can take this scripture of John 17 and show you that Paul's not part of it. Now watch it, John 13. Look with me in verse, for some reason I'm not seeing it, little children or children. what is it? 33. Little children, yet a little while I'm with you, you shall seek me, as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now say I unto you. Turn to 1 John. Now, isn't 1 John the walking papers of most religions? Okay. If you get baptized, they'll tell you to go read the book of love of 1 John. And if you're lost, which you probably are if you got baptized, and I'm not saying everybody that's baptized is lost, but you got a good tendency to be lost if you're getting baptized. Because somebody, they forgot to give you what's behind us on the wall. Okay? Well, you'll find chapter 2, verse 1. My little who? My little children. Okay? 1 John 1, 9. Back it up. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, what did I got to do in that verse to get forgiveness? If you don't, how many of you confess your sins? How many of you confess your sins? Well, according to this verse, you're not cleansed from all unrighteousness. I don't need to be cleansed from all righteousness. I've been made righteous. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. And you got to compare Paul in this with these words. Well, look in 1 John chapter 2. What's the will of God today? Somebody read it last night. Two things there. To be saved and come to know the truth, right? That's the will of God. I mean, there's a lot of other wills in there. 1 Thessalonians, the will of God, pray without ceasing, quench not the Spirit, and other things like that. But in that verse, He would have all men to be saved, right? Can all men be saved then? Did Jesus give Himself a ransom for all? To be testified when? I expect the dispensation of grace, or the dispensation of the gospel, is due time, wouldn't you? Okay, now watch again in verse 18. What's the first two words? Little children, it is what? It's not going to be the last time. It shall be the last time. What is it? Last time. Can there be Antichrist right now? Can there be Antichrist right now in the dispensation of grace? How could He have all men to be saved then? Antichrist can't get saved. Did I do something wrong? What makes Antichrist in the verse? Verse 19. Or 18. Let's read it. Little children, it is the last time. As you've heard that Antichrist will come, even now there are many Antichrists. I need the definition of Antichrist. So shouldn't I look for the Scripture to tell me the definition of Antichrist? Wouldn't that be fair? Verse 19, they went out from us. Are you going to say that? Now, all the preachers in here that I know have seen a lot of people come and go. Does that make them Antichrist? Or did they have some kind of problem with each other? Barnabas and Paul had problem. Did when Barnabas left, God said, Antichrist, Antichrist. How do you know what Barnabas even did? Maybe Barnabas is one of them spreading the gospel in other areas where Paul didn't go. God, I'm not mad at Barnabas. They just had a problem and left. Correct? I had a man leave the church at Selma because I made him quit preaching. He was doing it for me when I was gone because he got into that Acts 28 stuff. I mean, and he said the gospel was Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. The gospel is not Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. That's how you got the gospel. For by grace are you saved through faith. You got saved by the gospel of your salvation. And he left and he went away. And another preacher he went to see, and he began to be with that preacher, and then finally that preacher shut him down too. Because he wasn't in Acts 28 or whatever that means. And so one day, about 3 years later. Him and another man, by the way, had left, an old man. They were, every time church was over at Selma, where I'm a pastor there, they'd walk outside and whisper to each other. And I let that go on. I mean, that's their business outside. So when this young man left, the old man left. And I went to talk to the old man several times about it, and he told me, he said, "You're preaching a different gospel now." I said, "Really? When did I start preaching another gospel?" I said, "I believe the same gospel I did when I met Steve." And that's a long time ago. We had brown hair. Didn't we? I heard that laugh. And I'm in the Hall of Fame in sports and basketball in Arkansas, and I look, my God, we were boys. I was 16. I looked at that, I go, I didn't know I was ever that young. My God, I'm 72, folks. Man, it's a long time ago. The boy, one day, 3 or 4 years later, walked in to the door at Selma, and he thought I'd be mad at him. And I said, and I'm not going to say his name, "I'm so glad to see you." He said, "You're kidding, right? You're not mad at me?" I said, "You left. I didn't."
Yeah. Amen.
And I said, "I'm so glad to see you." He said, "I was snared by the devil with that doctrine." He wasn't an antichrist. He's saved. He knows the gospel very well. Preaches, I let him preach because he does. The old man come back about a month, 3 weeks later, and got saved. And when he walked in, I was happy to see him too. Folks, listen to me. They're not antichrists right now. They can go out and come back. What separates them? John 6:66, which is separate them in tribulation. They get the ghost, and they go away. They went out. If they don't get the ghost, then they go away. They're out again. You understand? They're antichrist in the verse. Is it not A-S on it? Okay. What's the definition? They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. And now I find out what tribulation's about. It's a manifestation. Tribulation and wrath are not the same things. Read Daniel 12 and Revelation chapter 12, and you'll see that in the middle of the tribulation, you're going to find 2 Thessalonians talks about it. 2 Thessalonians has got the catch out in chapter 2, verse 1, and the rest of it's about the son of perdition and the wicked one being revealed. Read it and see. That's what he's talking about. That, don't take it out of context. Matter of fact, go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and watch. Did our apostle believe he was going to go out alive one time? We which are alive and remain. Did it come a time when he knew he wasn't? 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, "The time of my departure is at hand." Timothy wrote, when he wrote some of his first letters, he believed that things were going to happen. He didn't know anything about Grace Bible Church in Berean Bible Church in Selma and Grace Bible Church study here in Chattanooga. He didn't know anything about 2,000 years. He's living just like everybody else, and he thought it could come at any time. The Lord was at hand. But then he come to a time when he actually got some revelation that told him, "I just fulfilled the Word of God." And he did. Colossians said so. And that fulfillment of the Word of God, you know, this whole room is full of people that no prophecy works on. There's no prophecy on you. And so Corinthians said prophecy shall fail. If I preach prophecy on you, I got a problem. It won't work on you. We are saved by grace. We got to get the same gospel they did. And getting that gospel, we got sealed. And Robbie's talking about eternal. You better be glad Romans 8's in there. Hey, people don't know Romans 8. They ought to learn it. It's secure. Now watch, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. "Now then, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him." What if that was the catch out? Let's see what happens after it. Verse 2. That you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter, as from us that the day of Christ is at hand. The day of Christ is described in chapter 1, and it's going to be bad. Well, after verse 2, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Hold on to John, that and go to John 17. In John 17, verse 22, while I was with them, or is that the little children? That's what it's been talking about. I kept them in thy name. Those thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition. The only one of the apostles I know that was lost is Judas. Is that not what the scripture tells us? Is Judas the apostle that was lost? And by the way, somebody said that Paul's the 13th apostle. And I'd say he's about the 15th. Say, Jerry, you're crazy. Well, he lists Barnabas, and Barnabas and Paul are apostles, and he lists Barnabas first. And I know that Justice and Matthias have the qualifications that Paul and Barnabas don't have. Well, Barnabas might, I don't, Paul doesn't. Paul's, the qualifications is from the baptism of John to the ascension of the Lord. So Paul can't have that. So if Paul doesn't have the words of John 17, then Jesus is not talking about finishing it with Paul. I mean, isn't that quite obvious? And so maybe somebody said, well, Paul's part of the apostleship. God don't need any more for the kingdom. He's got 12. And the message changed from repent for the kingdom of heaven in hand before the cross to after the cross. The gospel of the circumcision was you can repent and be baptized for remission of sin, and you should receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that's compliments of Jesus Christ that's hanging on the cross said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. And folks, I never once in my life was pricked in my heart that I killed the Lord. They are of the power of the ghost. And that ghost pricked them in the heart. And you know what? If you're a Jew that killed the Lord, the Son of God, you're afraid if you believe. I never got saved by fear. The gospel is the gospel of peace. Somebody told me what Jesus Christ did for me. They didn't tell me. Peter's over here preaching and he said, you killed the Messiah. You killed the Holy One. You murdered Him. You killed Him. Oh my God. What must we do? Repent. So the churches preach, repent of your sins. Those are law-abiding Jews. Try to convict Saul. He's a sinner before the Lord appears to him. He says, touching your righteousness and law, blameless. Blameless. How are you going to convict a man that thinks he's blameless? One of the devices of Satan is to convince people because they got in the water, they joined the church, they asked Jesus in their heart, turned from their sin, followed Billy Graham or anybody else, that they don't need it. And you go and tell them all of that, but dumb. That's what our apostle said. And dung, he's not being crude. Dung is something they cut out of an animal, took it outside and burned it for sin. He's not being crude when he said that, not being vile. And so, go back to John here, the son of perdition. Was the son of perdition, you know, I think about what 30 pieces of silver is worth. You've walked with the Lord 3.5 years. You've seen Him walk on water. You've seen Him heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. You've seen this man's power. You've seen this man's love and kindness. This man is absolutely pure righteousness walking. And you'd sell him out for 30 pieces of silver. Check the radio and TV. What they're selling the Lord out for. The mansion here. All the money they can grab. I saw that guy on TV last night. And I couldn't get it off quick enough. He'd come on without me knowing it. I got him on. He said, join our faith ministry by your gifts. Okay, whatever. I saw the best description of the beating of Jesus Christ's back in a picture the other day. His rib cage was totally viewed. They probably beat him with a cat of nine tails so bad that it was wide open. And then when they put the cloak on him, the blood dried. And they waited for a while and then they ripped it off. You know what a Band-Aid feels like? Oh, damn you. That Band-Aid hurts so bad, would have pulled it off. How about a cloak, a coat on you, dried with your blood against your ribs, and you rip it off. And somebody's pulled your beard out with their hands and spit on you in the face. And the Bible says He loved us and gave Himself for us. And that's going to come up in John 19. It is finished. Jesus did what He was taught by the Lord to do. He taught the words. He taught the name. And as He's doing all that, He has a resume of, well, I think I'll live to about 60 and retire, and I'm going to get me a condo down in Panama City, and I'm going to enjoy life. At 30 years old, He begins a ministry teaching them because He's going to leave. Matthew 16:21. From that time forth, He began to show them how He'd be delivered up, suffer many things, the chief priests and elders, be crucified and rise again the third day. No, Lord! Get behind me, Satan. Don't ever say no. Somebody's leading you to say no when the Lord says something. 13 letters are said to you. Paul wrote them. He said them from the Lord. Don't say no. Because somebody else is leading you when you do. So He said in John 13, I lost none of them but the son of perdition. And you find that son of perdition over in 1 John. Okay? Now go to John 19 and watch. I want to know what it is. I did all that. I want to know what it is. 20? 15? Just do something. John 19, verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, it is finished. By the way, how would that wooden tree, we know it as a cross, tree for the curse for Israel, how would that feel on your open ribs? You know, and they drove them spikes into His feet and His hands. Yet the Bible prophesied there'd be no bone broken. You know, it'd be hard to drive something through your hand without breaking bones, wouldn't it? Could be done. But what overwhelmed that centurion? What overwhelmed? Was the intent of Israel to kill Jesus? We have no king but Caesar. Crucify. What do you do when you crucify? And by the way, I personally think they're cowards. They made the Gentiles do it. Plan of God. That centurion went up there and he was going to break the legs. And there's no need. He did something on that cross that nobody understands. He died for our sins. They wanted to kill Him. He died for our sins. And Galatians said He gave Himself. I asked somebody the other day in Galatians chapter 1, He gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world. Who did He give Himself to? He gave Himself to the Father. To sacrifice. And Ephesians chapter 5 said, He is a sacrifice. It's a sweet smelling savor in the nostrils of Almighty God. And that sacrifice accepted why He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet knew no sin. And that perfect sacrifice that willingly gave Himself You know, animals don't willingly gave. I mean, I don't think it was willingly to cut their throat or anything. But Jesus should be our hero. I mean, all these sports fans, they ain't no heroes. How do you be a hero played for $20 million? My hero is somebody that gave up everything he had a right to. He came from glory. Came down in this vile world. Or evil world, I apologize. Came down in this evil world, loved the world enough to stay without sin. And love the Father with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength. And when the time come, instead of taking vengeance and calling the angels down, died. But it wasn't fun while he was dying. He was in the garden praying, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And the sweat was like drops of blood. He's sweating torment. What's he seeing? He's seeing hell. People talk about that, no hell, no hell. I was called a no-heller the other day. Did you know that? You know why? My apostle don't write about hell. He writes about death. Hell hath enlarged herself to receive an age of death. If you don't trust the gospel of Christ, you're going into death. There's a difference between death and dying. Folks, when Jesus Christ left that body, he was cut away from that body, and he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Somebody quoted the other night, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He became you. So that you'll never have to say, why hast thou forsaken me? You have the assurance of 13 letters that God will never forsake you.
Amen.
You can get up tonight, or go to bed at night, get up in the morning, and you know what? The Bible don't change. And my Lord doesn't either. I was telling him the other day, when I pray, I have evil thoughts. I know Jens wouldn't, but I do. And I'll be sitting there praying, them evil thoughts come across there, and I said, where did that one come from? Holy crap, I didn't even know I remembered that one. And then the verse hit me. We know not what we should pray for as well, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. God didn't hear the evil one. He heard my Savior talking for me. That gives me peace. Real peace. Because otherwise I need a lobotomy. The things that I've done in my life, you people are nice. But it comes across there and I go, I didn't even know what in the world am I doing. And then I read Paul and he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ. So Paul did too. In Romans 7, Paul's not a superman, folks. He's just a man that God called. You ever ask yourself, why am I saved? Why are you saved? I asked that the other day, and they went, why are you asking that kind of question? Why are you saved? Why are you saved? Provision made, I understand that. Why are you saved? Because you got called. Please God, by the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. God put somebody in your way and called you. I've had people say that to me. Say, I don't know why I came to Bible study, but I sure am glad I did. I said, I know why you came to Bible study. God invited you. And you know, you get invited, you better do something about it. So in John 19, it's finished. What's finished? The righteousness of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, how did Israel have righteousness? It kept the law of Deuteronomy 5. It shall be your righteousness. But you come into the age of Paul's dispensation, and it says there's none righteous, no, not one. So, if there's none righteous, how do I keep the righteous? Because the righteous God is without the law. So how do I make myself righteous? I don't. I don't try to make myself righteous. I don't even try to act righteous. I was made righteous.
Amen.
By God. Time yet? I'm good? There ain't none good. Okay. I was made righteous. So it, being a mystery to us, was that God was going to have a time that His righteousness without the law would be made manifest. And that righteousness, folks, don't you ever forget it, was by the faith of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And every translation that Donnie was talking about, none of them believe in the faith of Christ. They believe it's your faith. My faith, I can get up some mornings and walk under them closed doors. That's how high my faith is. It's just like crawling. My faith is in the faith of somebody that never failed, that did it right, and gave it to me. Oh my God. He gave it to me. Now, I'm gonna have mercy on everybody. I want a group reading. Okay? Will everybody read with me? Read what's on the back wall. You're held accountable for that the rest of your life and at the judgment that you go to, whether it's the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne. And if you have read that and don't trust it, the great white throne will have no mercy on you. Because you're either going to be coming out of death or you're going to be alive, and you went through the wrath and stood before God one day and had to answer to Him. You know, Paul said, in the day when the secrets of men shall be judged according to my gospel, don't ever ask anybody if they're saved. Ask them what the gospel of their salvation is. Everybody will lie to you about being saved. Everybody thinks different ways of being saved. That's what they think. But if you ask them what the gospel of their salvation, they're kind of dead in the water. They're not sure. Brother Steve?